live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, up to 150 asylum seekers are to be moved into a block of apartments in Ballybofey. The manager of Letterkenny University Hospital is warning that overcrowding, delays and cancelled operations are going to be ongoing factors for some time to come. A Donegal Irish dancer says he is not surprised by allegations of fixing in competitions. A new MICA Action Group committee has been elected. And work on the long-awaited A5 road is set to get underway late next year. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First news this evening, up to 150 asylum seekers are to be moved into a block of apartments in Ballybofey. The Department of Immigration say contracts have been signed and families seeking international protection will move into the 48 apartments in the coming weeks. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says it's a welcome development.
Well, these apartments have been lying empty for some time in Ballybofey, so it's good to see them actually being put to use. And I think that it's very necessary for asylum seekers as well that they would be in use. And I think it's a number of families that are coming here to Ballybofey, so I think that's going to be important that they have somewhere to actually safe to live and to survive in.
The manager of Letterkenny University Hospital is warning that overcrowding, delays and cancelled operations are going to be ongoing factors for some time to come. Attendances at the emergency department are at an all-time high, with over 100 people attending daily over the past few months. On one recent day, 200 people turned up at the ED. Sean Murphy says staff at the hospital are doing all they can, but the high number of attendances are causing extreme pressures.
I wouldn't want to be that defeatist to say this is what we should expect going forward. But in reality, it's something we're going to see continue for some time. At the moment, the volume of patients that are coming in to the hospital are all-time highs, and also the severity of illness of those patients is extremely high at the moment. Priority is always to deal with the sickest and most ill patients first. Give you some sort of sense of it, Greg. Pre-COVID, we would have regularly run at sort of 100 and 110 attendances through the ED on any day. Mondays were always a very pressurized day, and we would have hit 140, maybe even 150 patients on Mondays. The last couple of months, we've never dropped below 100. We're regularly, and hardly ever dropped below 110. It's 120, 130. We hit nearly 200 a few weeks ago on one day. That's the, I suppose, the sensitive volume of patients that are presenting. And while we're doing everything we can to both promptly treat those most urgent and also to take measures to, if we can get somebody sort and treat out the department quickly, we do that as well.
A Donegal Irish dancer says he is not surprised by allegations of fixing in competitions. Raymond Sweeney from Drumkeen claims it has been ongoing for years. The allegations have been made within the CLRG body, with one dancing teacher reportedly offering sexual favours for higher scores. A former judge has been appointed by the body to oversee an investigation. Mr. Sweeney is creative director of Titanic Dance. He told today's 9 till noon show that it is absolutely disgusting.
It is out there. People know about it, and it's disgraceful and it's sickening. And, you know, I just feel for the children, you know, putting in blood, sweat and tears, and, you know, and then having, you know, people potentially should have won competitions, big competitions, and then they don't. You know, it's not a nice thing, and it's not a nice environment for me to be involved in.
Yeah, it's horrible for the children, because they're all affected. The winners now will have their achievements questioned, and those that perhaps on the day it was clear they should have won will never have that.
I suppose from a personal point of view, like, back in, I think it was 94, I got fourth in the worlds myself. And I actually won one of my dances outright, and a local adjudicator, I suppose, didn't give me the marks I felt I should have got, or, you know, I was still honored to get that position.
You know yourself, you'd done, you know what you'd done, yeah, and it felt wrong at that time, something was up.
Well, to be fair, I was still, you know, amazed at what I got, but at the same time, there's something that didn't seem right when all the other adjudicators gave me, like, great marks, and the local adjudicator maybe thought that maybe I wasn't going to be in the mix as such. Was, you know, it was strange that their adjudicators I didn't know from America and stuff that gave me what I deserved, I suppose, and then she didn't, I suppose, thinking I wouldn't be up there, not for the performance or what I deserved.
Right, Raymond, finally, there's going to be some pain in...
A new Mike Action Group committee has been elected, with Lisa Horn being named as the new chairperson. Every member of the committee is either directly affected or has family affected by the defective block crisis, some both. Donna Marie Doherty has more details.
Lisa Hone takes over the role of chairperson from Eamon Jackson as the leader of the voluntary group for affected homeowners. George Hill is taking on deputy chair role, and Rasha Ní Lafferty is signed as a new PRO to replace well-known campaigner Michael Doherty. Other committee member roles were assigned to Mary M. McLaughlin as treasurer, Tricia Sullivan as secretary, and Michelle Diver, co-secretary and member of the media team, alongside Robin Hamill, Tommy Walsh and Jerry Hone. Key areas that were identified as requiring immediate focus are the unacceptable paralysis of the current scheme and the lack of alternative housing for those needing to leave unsafe or unhealthy houses immediately. Other issues include the provision of temporary accommodation during building work and the lack of provision of practical and emotional support for those affected.
Issues with the Northern Ireland Protocol won't be resolved by the end of this month, according to the Foreign Affairs Minister. New elections in Northern Ireland will be called on October the 28th if Stormont isn't functioning by then. Talks between the UK and EU over the protocol have resumed this afternoon. Minister Simon Coveney is hopeful there will be some progress over the coming weeks.
There are issues that need to be resolved and can be resolved, in my view, relatively quickly. Issues around tariffs, issues around checks, the nature of those checks, how we could move towards what Vice President Šefčovič has called sort of, you know, virtually invisible checks.
The Taoiseach Joe has been accused of failing in his term in government in tackling homelessness. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty also pressed Leo Varadkar in the Dáil this afternoon on the prospect of electricity blackouts over the coming months. In response to Deputy Doherty, the Taoiseach just says the government is doing what it can to address homelessness.
Unfortunately, most countries, almost all countries in the world, face homelessness to a certain extent. We're doing the very best we can to resolve it. We're putting unprecedented resources into it. And if it was a problem that could, if it was a problem that could be so easily solved by Sinn Féin deputy, you would have solved it in the 20 years you've been in government in the North, surely.
The clock is running.
Work on the long-awaited A5 road is set to get underway late next year. The North's Infrastructure Minister, John O'Dowd, has confirmed that the works will start from Derry to Strabane with a view of completing the project by 2028. The roadworks have been subject to a series of delays due to public inquiries and legal action. Councillor Stephen Edwards believes the new road will save lives as well as increasing connectivity in the region.
Yesterday, as part of a wider group, the A5 N2 working group, I met with Minister O'Dowd about the A5, and I was pleased to learn that he expects to start building next year with a view of completing it in 2028. So I think that's usually positive news for people with the wider area. There's been well over 40 deaths along the current A5. There's accidents every single day on it. I think it is important for road safety, but also in terms of increasing connectivity and the northwest to the Belfast and to Dublin. And also bringing a much-needed jobs boost to local area. A5 needs to happen. I think people are behind it. The vast majority of people are behind the scheme, so it definitely needs to happen. And I just hope that those who are against the scheme and have brought those legal challenges actually catch themselves on and let the scheme go ahead for the greater good of the majority of people in the area.
Progress on the master plan for Milford has been welcomed as a positive first step towards the future of the town. Last year, €100,000 was provided for a plan to tackle dereliction and revitalise the town centre. A meeting is due to be held in the coming weeks to discuss the development of the town centre first plan. Declan Meehan of the Milford and District Resource Centre says the plan will help Milford maximise its full potential.
It's a hugely positive story for Milford and the surrounding area. It's been years since we've seen significant investment in the town of Milford, and this is a great first step now. There's a huge amount of potential in the town. We have a huge rate of vacancy on the main street of the town. Almost 50% of buildings are vacant. That's one issue that we'd like to see tackled under this plan. There's also vacant land in the town which I think could address the issue of a lack of public green spaces, which would really enhance the town of Milford for the people living and working in it.
The sale of Castlederg Police Station has been delayed. Concerns were raised earlier this week as the North Policing Board was set to decide on a proposal to sell the former station. However, social housing agency Apex, which had been working with Derry City and Strabane District Council to secure the property, were ruled out as they failed to meet a submission deadline. The Policing Board has now agreed to postpone the sale of the property until December. This has been greatly welcomed by West Tyrone MLA, Melissa McHugh.
I'm delighted to be informed just that it has been delayed until the month of December. And this is very, very welcome news, particularly for the housing executive in conjunction with Apex, who have expressed an interest in the purchase of this site. And as you know, as I stated on your programme only 2 days ago, that it's important to the people of this community that it is the likes of Apex that would be successful possibly in the purchase of this site in order to develop it for social housing. A much deserved need in the Castlederg area at the present time, where without doubt that the local community will really appreciate that.
And are you confident that a good enough case can be put forward that Apex can secure this?
I'm not saying that it's straightforward one way or the other. There will be other people that will possibly be interested in the purchase of the site as well. But that I've given my support to Apex, given that as a public body and it is public property, that they wish to develop it for the local community in the provision of social housing in particular.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Shamrock Rovers manager Stephen Bradley has made five changes to his side for this evening's Conference League game away to Mulday. Into the side come Sean Hoare, Andy Lyons, Justin Ferrazay, Aaron Green and Adeyemo Emeku. Kick-off on the Norwegian coast is at 5.45. The other game in that group has an 8 o'clock start that sees Ghent host Ure Gardens. And Conor Coventry's on the West Ham bench for their Group B game away to Anderlecht. That also kicks off at 5.45. And in Group A at 8 o'clock, Hearts have glamorous visitors in the shape of Fiorentina. Cristiano Ronaldo, he starts up front for Manchester United in their Europa League Group E game away to Neil Lennon's Omonia Nicosia. Kick-off in Cyprus is at 5.45. And in Group A, Arsenal entertain Norwegian champions Bodo Glimt. That one starts at 8 o'clock. And Irish Eyes will be trained on Hampden Park tonight, where Scotland face Austria in their Women's World Cup playoff. Vera Powell's Republic of Ireland will play the winners of that match away from home on Tuesday night. Kick-off tonight is at 7.35. In other news, Manchester City defender Kyle Walker has had surgery on a groin injury, leaving him in a race to be fit for the World Cup. He suffered the problem during last weekend's 6-3 win over Manchester United in the Premier League. And Premier League clubs will take the knee before the next two rounds of fixtures to show a united front against discrimination. The matches will be dedicated to No Room for Racism as part of the league's ongoing commitment to tackling the issue. The decision was made ahead of the season to reduce the amount of times players take the knee throughout the campaign in fear of its impact being reduced. Up in Scotland, Aberdeen manager Jim Goodwin has been handed an 8-match ban after accusing Hibs' Ryan Porteous of cheating. He claimed the defender got his player Liam Scales sent off during their 3-1 Scottish Premiership defeat last month. Goodwin will miss 6 of their matches immediately, with 2 suspended. In horse racing, Dylan Brown McMonagall continues to fire at the winners, and today he won a 25-1 shot. It's a long road for trainer Charles Coakley in the 3.45 in Thurles. The success follows his win yesterday at Navan on Rough Diamond and now brings his year's total of victories to 45. Dylan also has a comfortable advantage as he closes in another apprentice jockey title. In golf, Seamus Power has made a bright start to the Shriners Children's Open on the PGA Tour. The Waterford golfer birdied his first two holes and is 2 under par. Canada's Adam Hadwin is the early leader on 4 under par. And Ashen Wu is the clubhouse leader on 8 under par on the opening day of the Open de España as it draws to a close. He's joined on that mark out in the course by Sweden's Joachim Lagergren. John Rahm's also finished on 7 under par, 1 shot off the lead. Niall Kearney's the best of the Irish out in the course. He's on 2 under par with 2 to play. And in the LPGA Tour, the Medihill Championship is the latest stop with Stephanie Meadow among the competitors in California. She's 1 under par through her first 7 holes. Lee Yu leads the way on 3 under par. In rugby, Joey Carberry will start at full back for Munster in tomorrow evening's URC Derby meeting with Connacht. Also making their first starts of the season for Munster will be Connor Murray and Gavin Coombs. Jack Kearty's on the Connacht side for the first time this season and is 1 of 5 changes from last week's defeat to the Vodacom Bulls. In boxing, Saturday's meeting of Conor Benn and Chris Eubank Jr. has officially been called off. Fight promoter Eddie Hearn sought an injunction to allow the fight to go ahead after the British Boxing Board of Control prohibited it from happening. Benn tested positive for a banned substance in a voluntary anti-doping agency test. In other boxing news, the European Boxing Confederation has confirmed the Russian and Belarusian fighters will be allowed to compete at next week's Elite Women's European Championships. They've fallen in line with the directive from the International Boxing Association, which lifted its ban on both nations yesterday. Beaten IBA presidential candidate Boris van der Voorst says the association has been held hostage by its Russian leadership. Finally, for this evening, on the score this week, there's more in the Donegal Senior and Junior Football Finals. We hear from St Dunan's Niamh Connell, Letterkenny Gaels and Cairn Donagh, plus Gary McDade will give us a neutral take on the weekend's action. And elsewhere, former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle looks ahead to the last Northwest Derby of the season as Finn Harps make the short trip to the Brandywell tomorrow evening to face Derry City. And Brian Brogan and Rory Kennedy join us to look at Saturday's Donegal Harvest Rally, which is based out of Gortahork. That's the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Weather now breezy for the rest of today with frequent showers. Some will be heavy and prolonged. Lowest temperatures tonight of 8 to 10 degrees. The closing headlines this evening, up to 150 asylum seekers are to be moved into a block of apartments in Ballybofey. The Department of Immigration say contracts have been signed and families seeking international protection will move into the 48 apartments in the coming weeks. The manager of Letterkenny University Hospital is warning that overcrowding, delays and cancelled operations are going to be ongoing factors for some time to come. Attendances at the emergency department are at an all-time high, with over 100 people attending daily over the past few months. A Donegal Irish dancer says he is not surprised by allegations of fixing in competitions. Raymond Sweeney from Drumkeen claims it has been ongoing for years. And a new Mica Action Group committee has been elected, with Lisa Hone being named as the new chairperson. Every member of the committee is either directly affected or has family affected by the defective block crisis. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore.
Coming up, we'll hear about Dexter Cattle and a forthcoming show and sale in Raphoe. But first, the IFA National Dairy Chair Stephen Arthur has stated that farmers cannot be penalised by any peak electricity charges proposed by the Commission for the Regulation of Utilities. He pointed out that dairy farmers don't have the luxury of picking the time of day they milk their cows. On the vast majority of dairy farms, cows are milked morning and evening 7 days a week. Trying to milk cows in cool milk outside the peak hours of 5 to 7pm is just not feasible, he asserted. Well, his comments come after proposals in relation to electricity smart meter tariffs that could see higher electricity costs during the peak hours of 5 to 7pm. As you may have already heard in the news this week, Irish farmers are to receive almost 10 billion euro in grants, subsidies and supports from the new European Union Common Agricultural Policy, which was approved by the Cabinet earlier this week. The plan, which has already received the green light from the European Commission in August, has been described by Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue as a farmer-friendly, fair and well-funded CAP. The Donegal Dexter Group, part of the Irish Dexter Cattle Society, in conjunction with Raphoe Livestock Mart, is holding a rare breeds show and sale on Friday, November the 18th. And this is a great opportunity to show, buy or sell Dexters and other rare breed cattle in the Northwest. Well, to find out a little bit more about the breed, let's hear from Stranorla-based agricultural advisor Mark McConnell, who is also involved in the Donegal Dexter Group. Mark, maybe not the biggest household name in terms of cattle breeds, but certainly the Dexter has quite a history.
They do indeed, Chris. I mean, they're a great history behind them. You know, if you look up the Dexter website there, you know, you can get a whole background on them. That, like, they're native to Ireland. They were bred from the old Black Kerry cow, which was a very hardy mountain breed in what they call the hardened estate and contemporary around the early 1800s. You know, they're a breed that nearly went extinct in the British Isles, but they're all across the globe. You can get them in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Cuba, Argentina, Kenya, Zimbabwe, Italy and Germany. So they're very, very widely spread over the world. They're called the poor man's cow. They would be known as, and they're the smallest breed in the UK and Ireland of cow, you know.
Yeah, I was just looking there. I mean, as you say, the smallest breed. They're about half the size of a traditional Hereford or about a third the size of a Friesian milking cow. So they really are quite small.
You're looking at an average weight there of between 300 and 350 kilos. Like, you know, so you can see, I mean, you know yourself, some of the big suckler cows could be up on, you know, nearly a ton weight, some of them. So they're small in comparison to your large Charlie or that, you know, or Limousine. But they're a rare breed, but, you know, they're something that's starting to come back into popularity again, and especially in Donegal. We have a great Donegal Dexter Society set up there, you know, a great bunch of members. We have a WhatsApp group set up there, and we're meeting up every, you know, 4 to 6 weeks.
And because, I suppose, of their size as well, they're not too severe on the land, and they can be reared in quite poor land as well.
Yeah, and suppose, Chris, they're coming to the fore now, I suppose, for a couple of reasons. One would be the acres scheme is going to put a demand on the Dexter for the fact that they're a rare breed, and that they would get a farmer into Tier 1 in acres. So therefore, possibly increasing or enhancing his chances to get accepted into the acre scheme. And then we also at the moment have a large, you know, cohort of farmers there that are going down the organic route. The Dexter is ideal for the organic setup, insofar as that you could maybe possibly outwinter them all year round. They're very hardy, as we said, and they're ideal for a low input system.
And quite a good milk yield as well.
Very good. Great milker. Like a Dexter cow would have no problem rearing two calves.
Looking at the actual beef side of things, it's sort of a marbled beef and a very, very good taste from it as well.
Lovely. Like, very sought after in certain restaurants and that. And like the Dexter, Donegal, back to the Donegal Dexter group there, you know, they're negotiating a Donegal Dexter kill there in Nina. You know, they've set up there a link for Dexter farmers in Donegal, where they can get their cattle killed, you know, and a special kill, and it's reducing the cost of transport and that as well, you know. So they there is a place there for them, you know, and they are increasing in popularity.
And Mark, given the quality of the meat, can it command a premium price?
Oh, it can, yep. It's just like, you know, what we're trying to do now as well as part of the show and sale, where more marketing maybe is needed for the product, you know. This is all stuff we're working together as a group in Donegal and the Donegal Dexter Group.
So tell us a little bit about this show and sale being held at Rafaux Mart on the Friday, November the 18th. But obviously before then, you'll be hoping for the entries in good time. So there's various classes available.
Closing date there for the entries is the 16th of October, you know, and then the times there is like on the day is like animals. We're hoping to get unloaded around 4 p.m. Judging and presentations will take around 5 p.m. Public viewing will be at 6, and then we're hoping to get the sale started off sharp there at 6:30 p.m. on the day. There's 8 different classes there. There's bull calf, heifer calf, cow, junior bull, senior stock bull, championship, special class, non-Dexter rare breed cattle, and then unregistered Dexter sale commences after the main sale as well. So there's loads of classes there, and we've got prize, and we've been very lucky, Chris, I have to say, that we've got a great support from the local business in the county.
Will there be people coming from quite a distance as well, do you think?
The Irish Dexter Society, we've been in touch with them. They've put out the news as well, what we're doing, and there's hopefully going to be farmers coming from all over, Cavan, Monaghan, all over, and even farmers in Northern Ireland are going to come down to the sale as well. So we're hoping to attract a big audience, but I suppose the one way where we see this, Chris, is going to be is the back to the acres again, the demand there for maybe Dexter cattle for farmers that want to go down that route, you know.
So if there's an increase in demand, I presume that'll be good for prices as well.
Yeah, we're hoping that the prices are going to be good. We're hoping this is going to be an annual thing. Hopefully, if it's successful, we're going to do this at least once a year to give people in Donegal an outlet for their breeding stock, heifers, bulls, cows, you know what I mean?
Now, if anybody wants more information, they can go online. There is, of course, the Donegal Dexter Group. There's the Irish Dexter Cattle Society.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the Dexters now, as you mentioned, they're being considered as being a recovery breed by the Livestock Conservancy. But generally, you know, things all pointing in the right direction.
They are, yeah. And I suppose if anybody there wants, you know, any information on the entry to the show and sale, if they want to contact Angela, I can give it a number there, Chris. Yeah, so it's 087-609-2969. So that's 087-609-2969, and that's Angela, and she'll take any calls there. She does a trojan of work there for the Donegal Dexters there, and she'll take any queries there on the show and sale anybody has.
And that was Mark McConnell, agricultural advisor, who is strongly involved in the Donegal Dexter Group. And finally, this Friday marks National Potato Day, and the theme of this year's event will be centred around highlighting to consumers the value for money that potatoes offer to feed a family. No matter what way they're cooked, consumers are being encouraged to ensure that the potatoes they enjoy at home or from the chip shop are locally grown. Bord Bio research has shown that 2 in 3 Irish people assume that the potatoes used to make the majority of chipper chips come from Ireland, when in fact the vast majority of chipping potatoes are imported into Ireland each year. Bord Bio, Teagasc, the IFA and the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine in the last few years have joined forces to increase the volume of homegrown potatoes being produced by Irish growers for sale in Irish chip shops. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafaux Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, October the 6th. The death has taken place of Brendan McLaughlin Holmes, Anna Clamani. His remains will repose at his late residence from this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Clamani, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. House private place from 9 p.m. to 11 a.m, with strictly family only on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to St Columbkill Village, Clamani, care of any family member or Comsgate Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Anne Gormley, Niall O'Donnell, Lennon View, Remelton and formerly of Corky Manor, Cunningham. Remains are reposing at her home. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Remelton. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations if desired, to Pulmonary Rehab Letterkenny, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Brendan Crummie for The Meadows, a Hilly Buncrana, reposing at his late residence. Removal from his home on Saturday morning at 9:15 to St Mary's Oratory Buncrana for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Brendan's funeral cortege will be leaving Murphy's funeral home on Wednesday morning, October the 12th at 11 o'clock, travelling to O'Kane's funeral home, Donegal Street, Belfast, to repose. Cremation will take place on Thursday afternoon, October the 13th in Roselawn Crematorium at 1:20. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Eddie Freel, Kildrum Carrigans, formerly Ballyheron, Fannet and Keshens at Newton Cunningham. Eddie is reposing at his late residence at Kildrum Carrigans. Funeral from there on Saturday for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, with interment in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on newtoncalaisparish.com. Family flowers only, with donations if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Charlie McClafferty Funeral Director or any family member. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has occurred of Sadie Crawford, née Irwin, 611 Liscully Villas, Castlefin. Funeral from her late home tomorrow afternoon at 12:20 for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Churchyard, Castlefin. The house is private to family and close friends at the request of the deceased. The death has occurred of Seamus Quigley, 82 Ardmacool, Stranorler. Remains reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Family time from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Mary Grant, Mahara Beg, Burnfoot. Remains reposing at her residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St Murrish Church, Vaughan, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or McLaughlin's Funeral Directors. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.